B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand. Happy, what's today, Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
June 23rd. How you doing, Zoe?
Doing great. How you doing? Looks like yellow pepper
good.
In your step
Is there
today.
A delay today? I'm good.
No, you sound great. Sound
I'm
great
just trying to
me.
Figure out if we have a delay. Uh-oh.
Nah, we'll have to wait until Don Orsillo gets all situated here. No, not even close.
Yeah, I'm fine, you know?
Hello. Yeah. How you doing, bud?
We're just worried about that delay again. I don't hear the echo. The echo is definitely not there today. So that's a positive. Okay. Hi, Hardy.
Mm. Yeah, huh?
Oh, yeah. Just saying
okay,
hi. That's
good.
All.
All right.
Are you
well pissing?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I just heard it in the back of my thing again.
Oh. You're
muffled. The muffled's there again.
You should see you should see Charlie, the engineer, standing in the studio like, let me try and figure this out from a technological standpoint with the levers and the wires and the tools.
Having a stupid check shirt on?
Nobody is wearing two
shirts.
I've got a solution for this. My solution is we do an outdoor show somewhere. Outdoor show.
Oh, yeah. That's second only to outdoor.
Charlie looks like...
Oh, that's my second favorite thing.
Charlie looks like somebody that delivers for StubHub. Or Grubhub. Charlie looks like a Grubhub delivery boy.
We run the...
Let him in!
So, we will run the cable from your modem in the bedroom down to the pool, and we'll all do a show at poolside.
Yeah, right behind outdoor eating. I love doing outdoor shows. They're great.
If you guys want to do that, I will. I am so for it. Some people actually want to make this like a station event.
Well, how many feet is it from your bedroom to the pool?
20 across this way and down 30. Maybe. Probably about 80. 80 to 90.
We've got cable to cover that. I think I've got a 100-foot cable right here.
What people
we'll bring that down.
What people want to make
up.
A live show remote from your pool. What people want to make that a station event so.
Let me see. Hold on. There's a lot of people. See? Here's what I do. Take this.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh. Put some miles on that mattress, huh?
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. We could set that up no problem. Did you just hear that echo?
I'm hearing
that's a simple
things.
Solution. Zoe left his headset where the headset's inside the microphone's inside the headset, so that's why we're hearing it back twice.
Okay.
If you say so.
We're hearing
why didn't you turn his headset
like
down?
Or so?
Because he was talking.
No.
That looks like 90 feet.
Yeah, we can make that. We can get a cable for that. Charlie can cut one over there.
We can do a nice setup
office.
There. Dennis can bring those
You've
big speakers.
We
can
like broadcast.
Neighbors love that. Neighbors
all
always have the show on. They watch it.
We'll run the cable down there, and we'll do the show from there tomorrow. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Tell Charlie I'll...
Can we just come in now?
Yes.
I mean, it's been 4 months. This thing's... Oh, can we just come in and do our show? Do it from the studio. It's time. I hear everything low. I hear a low show going on in my ear. It's almost... You know, like when you get...
Hey, it's Hardy.
Woo! coming over to play. You ready? I have a feeling we're going to do Hey, It's Hardy at some point today. Every day.
4 months. Why is there a problem all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Got friends. You know why? Because it's pool season. And if you go underwater, do you know, like, you ever go underwater and you hear people up above talking like, that's the murmur of the low show that we're doing that we have in our ear as we do it. And it's really starting to distract me.
I don't think that's the biggest problem.
Stop talking. The show's still going on in my ear.
I think the biggest problem is that there is a there's a delay, and then there is also this feedback, too, which is making things very difficult.
Coming over to play.
Did I go all Chewbacca
there?
Do the
cupcake thing again.
No. You sound fine.
Do cupcake again.
I'm not doing the cupcake thing. We're not going to do that today. We're not going to say the alphabet. We're just going to do the show, starting with what, Beetle? What are we starting with this morning?
We're going to start with the fact that I had to pay Hardy $20 yesterday for losing a bet on Major League Baseball players voting 33-5 against the proposal that was put on the table by Major League Baseball owners.
What an
33-5 they voted that thing down. It wasn't even close. It was an embarrassment. I feel that I got ripped off on the odds. I feel like 3-1 wasn't good enough. I knew. Like,
hey man,
that should have been 10 to 1.
Tell us when and where. We'll be there.
33-5.
Yeah, tell us when and where. We'll be there. Don't worry. We want to play.
So I think the players who said the tell us when and where look like jackasses. Okay. They look like jackasses for not taking it and not wanting to get back as soon as possible after they said those things. But I have a question about
Trout.
This. Based on what we've heard since, yesterday when they voted it down, 33-5, by the way, since that happened, we've heard that Rob Manfred, 33-5, Rob Manfred has gone ahead and will seek permission to get the players back by July 1st to get them to camps in a week. And in addition to that, the Players Association and Major League Baseball are going to come to an agreement on the safety protocols within that week to get them back on July 1st. And Rob Manfred is not forcing a 48 or 50 game season on the players. He's giving them the 60 game season with the full prorated pay. So my question is, if you were a player yesterday, what was your motivation to vote yes? If on the other side was the commissioner caving and giving the full 60 games to the players at their full prorated pay, what was the motivation to say yes yesterday and vote yes and take the deal and also give up the right to file the grievance? Because now they still get the 60 games, they still get full prorated pay, and they get to file their grievance and maybe get more money out of the owners. So why would they have voted yes?
Well,
if Rob Manfred was going to do that, and I think it's more Rob Manfred not really sticking it to the players again. Is what it feels like.
If he wanted
to stick it to the players,
I was under the impression that they were going to
put in rules that he.
I don't know how we're going to do this.
Go ahead, Hardy.
I was under the impression that it was going to be a 50 game mandate if they didn't come to an agreement. So maybe they were thinking about those extra 10 games. We talked about this morning when they talk about the concessions that they're willing to make for next season. Eliminating the universal DH and the expanded playoffs. Where does that fall in the new Rob Manfred proposal or the mandate now for the 60 games?
He doesn't get those things. But players, for some reason, were against accepting the expanded playoffs because they didn't think they were getting enough of the cut. They didn't feel like they were getting compensated adequately enough to do the expanded playoffs. So they were generally against that from the beginning.
Right. Will there be expanded playoffs next year, though?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't get it.
Okay. So that would have been their motivation to vote yes yesterday. Okay. Number one, I don't know if it's going to be 50 or 60 if he mandates this. So we definitely will get 60. We won't have the expanded playoffs next year. We won't have the universal DH, which, again, I'm a little fuzzy as to why the players don't want either one of those things, but fine. They don't want either one of those things. And here we go. We got a great graphic up now on the simulcast from NBC Sports Boston. So they could have had that stuff, I guess, eliminated for them. But now, I don't know. It's I understand what you're saying, Beto. Based on what they ended up mandating, it's not all that different. So why would they have agreed to vote yes? And the one thing they would have lost 100% is their ability to file a grievance over this.
Right. And so they keep that ability intact. And so things like the $33 million in forgiven salary advances, they may be able to get all of that plus some in a grievance. So they look at it and say, we don't want the expanded playoffs. And I don't think it has to do with not wanting to win or not having more opportunity to win. It's about the money. They don't feel like baseball wanted to give them enough money to do it. And so it's not the, oh, we don't want to play baseball in October. We don't want to have a chance to win. It's no, we want that, but you also have to pay for that because we know what that's worth to the network. So they didn't want to do that. They want to do that in their next CBA. So that is no enticement for them to vote for it. And now they get their 60 games. Manfred gave them their 60 games anyway. That's what he did. So if you want to be pissed at the players, I get it. I think we should be pissed at everybody. Be pissed at everybody involved, and no one comes out of this looking good. But it feels like Manfred's about to cave to them again and give them 60 games because it's not only good for the players, but it's good for the league. It's better if the season has 60 games in it. It's better for baseball if they play 60 games. And they're going to get their 60 games at the full prorated pay. So what the hell would they vote yes for if they didn't want those other things? And they wanted to push that down the road. I'm just not sure why they would vote that unless it was the difference of 48 games and 60 or 64, 65, whatever it might be. And we knew that because they were running out of time, it was going to be 60 games. So here we are. It looks like we're going to have a baseball season. So after all of this fighting and back and forth, it appears they are going to play games. However, there could be players bailing and not showing up for it. And if you want to put a negative spin on there being games, I thought Buster only had an interesting tweet on what's coming in baseball. We'll get to that coming up. And your calls and your reactions, 617-779-0985. Players voting down the deal, 33-5. But it appears there will still be baseball. All that and more coming up.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beto. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number. It appears we will have a baseball season despite players voting down the proposal yesterday, 33-5, and I lost $20 to Hardy. I paid him almost immediately. I bet I paid Hardy before he'd even realized what had happened. That's what I believe happened yesterday. Is that true, Hardy?
That is 100% true. I had not yet received news. I was, we're messing around playing in the yard, and then I think it was the text. I got the text from you with the screenshot. Pickleball. We got a new pickleball game. We were playing pickleball in the driveway.
Oh,
yeah.
What's pickleball?
Lovely.
It's pickleball is a mini form of tennis played with. We got these like wood paddles and the pickleball, and the ball does not bounce as much as a tennis ball, but you get like a mini tennis
really?
Court and string up a net, nice. And there you go. We're playing pickleball.
So you know exactly what it is.
You play
you
pickle
definitely
sniffer
do.
Here. Yeah.
What the hell?
Jesus. What's the matter with you?
We do. You play catch, and person who drops three footballs, you have an award. We actually have a green. We have a trophy. And you don't want that trophy at the end of the night because it's got to stay in your room till the next day till you can redeem yourself.
That's nice. It's good. Fun for the kids.
We do it over the house, so you got to throw the ball over the house, and you drop a lot. You end up dropping a lot that way.
All right, here's a tweet. Here's a tweet for Buster only. You know what? Don't say what. Buster says this for baseball. He says, and the dominoes are now likely set to tumble. Here's what's going to happen in baseball. Number one, the implementation of a short season by Major League Baseball. Not too short, though, by the way, Buster. It appears it will be 60 games that Rob Manfred's going to give them. Number two, some players choosing not to play. Number three, a Players Association grievance. Number four, upcoming free agents get destroyed in the market. Number five, all major labor issues merely deferred to next spring. And then after that, he writes, mutually assured destruction. Buster's talking about the long-term sort of impact of this not being approved and these two sides not being on the same page. I feel like he's overstating it a little bit there.
Yeah, number two is the only one I care about. Yeah, number two is the only one I care about there. Players
which
choosing
is some,
not to play.
Which some ones? Players choosing not to play. Which ones is actually the question?
That's and the question.
What if it's star players? What if it's Mike Trout? What if it's...
And you don't watch.
You know, what if it's the really important players in this game? Mike Trout, June 16th, tell us when and where. How could he possibly not play now?
Oh, right? He would get eviscerated. He was the guy at the front of tell us when and where, man. I'm just a ball player. You know, I don't want all this marketing. I just want to play baseball, man. I'm like, I'm the natural. He does this. He says that. Then he elects not to play. He will no longer be the face of baseball. Be dethroned quickly. People will crush him.
So with that being the case, I think you bring it right back to the Red Sox and start thinking about what if, and not that the Red Sox have the same level of star players that they had a year ago. What if Xander Bogaerts says, I don't want to play. I don't want to play baseball. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to participate in this.
Well, there's going to be so many players that are going to, we've got a start date now, you know, allegedly. You know, we got a plan in place. So what? This is not the plan the players wanted. It's not even the plan that the owners wanted. So how motivated, you know, you were asking before, Beetle, like what motivation do the players have to vote yes on this yesterday? What motivation is there for, both sides to really work together now to hammer out an agreement on the health and safety protocol and get the stadiums ready and get everybody back to work? It feels like a large number. I don't want to say the majority, but a large number on both sides, both players and a large number of the owners, don't want to play anyway. So, you know, we can individualize and we can talk about what players may decide to play and what players may not. I don't know that they're going to actually end up doing this. You know, it's just a plan. It's just the mandate. It's nothing more at this point. And it's not even that. They still have to sign off on a bunch of stuff before even this can move forward. So my confidence level that it's actually going to take place and we'll have games starting here in another 5 weeks. Do you think they're going to be playing baseball in stadiums 5 weeks from now?
Baseball.
And it's hard to envision right now. And I think that it's really easy if the players want to destroy this. That's what I think we have to remember. That if the players choose not to show up, they could destroy this rather quickly. And I only bring up Xander Bogaerts' name because he's, you know, my favorite player, and I think a lot of people's favorite player and the star attraction on this team. So if he doesn't show and doesn't want to play, I mean, you could ruin an entire team. And then if you do it, how many other players? And again, pick Trout, pick any player you want. That's the best player on their team in the sport. And you could single-handedly all of a sudden impact other guys' decisions and you could destroy the year. And I don't know what the Players Association believes they're going to, you know, get out of the grievance, whether they think they're going to win it, what their odds are. I don't know. I don't have a great understanding of that.
How do you look at Bogaerts next spring? If, say, everybody else goes and Bogaerts doesn't go, and then you show up for spring. Oh, look who's here, guys, the X-Man. He decided he wants to play now. Didn't want to play with us. Wouldn't it be great if, like, they got on sort of a hot run and they get in the mix and by some miracle they win the de facto World Series or the asterisk World Series? So you know what? X-Men, you don't get a ring. You weren't there. We got rings for it. Yeah, let's get ready for 2021. This is going to be a fun year. Yeah. You got to play. You got to play. You're the team leader. You play. The guys look up to you.
Yeah, I would say that's
true. If you don't want to play, you better get 10 guys on your train about, yeah, like so in Rudy, when you weren't going to dress Rudy out, what happened? Team captain goes in, puts his jersey down. Coach, take my Rudy, take my jersey. And then 12 guys followed him. This can't be a single guy. This can't be where the most popular guy on the team checks out. That will not be good for this game. It's got to be unified. You got to come together as a unified front.
Hardy, you said 5 weeks from now playing baseball in stadiums. Can you imagine all of them being back in camp by next Wednesday?
No. And that's the other thing. By July 1st, they have to agree to a health and safety protocol and agree to be in their home stadiums by July 1st.
Well, that's cool, even if you don't have fans. But at least, you know, hey, Massachusetts, you could eat indoors now. You could pack Lansdowne Street, all those bars and restaurants. Watch the games there, right?
A week
right
from
the street.
Everyone back and ready to go a week from tomorrow. You think that's going to happen?
It feels aggressive, is what I would say. It feels aggressive. And I don't know where everybody is. Do we know where all the players are currently? Are they in the country? Are they here? Are they in Florida? I don't know where all these players are.
Well, that's another huge part of it, which we, you know, in ordinary times you would just dismiss. You got 8 days to make it back from wherever you are. We've heard, especially with NHL players, the difficulties some of them are having with travel right now and getting here from other countries or just, you know, across the border in Canada. You know, it's a huge issue. So, you know, they could make do, I'm sure, without everybody. I just wonder if they're going to agree to these terms now and come back. They can mandate whatever they want. If the players say no and we're not doing it, then they're not going to do it.
Right. And they've got now a week's time to get to their ballparks to get back and do this, because if they don't get there by July 1st or they're unable to have teams reporting by July 1st,
yeah.
Well, then you all of a sudden have a season length that could change. Bob Nightingale, again, reported last night that if everyone is able to show up by July 1st and they agree on the safety protocols, that they will set a 60-game season. That is what Rob Manfred will mandate.
Remember, guys, can't shake hands, can't slap each other on the butt, can't spit, can't chew seeds, can't chew gum and spit the gum. So just let's go. Get ready to go in a week.
And that the 60-game regular season would begin on July 24th. Would be opening day in baseball, July 24th. By the way, Trevor Bauer, Bauer outage on Twitter. He's had all kinds of things to say during all this. He said it's absolute death for this industry to keep acting as it has been. Both sides were driving the bus straight off a cliff. How is this good for anyone involved? COVID-19 already presented a lose-lose-lose situation, and we've somehow found a way to make it worse. Incredible. Is that Trevor Bauer criticizing his other players and other guys, like, within the ranks? Is that what that is from him?
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like he's – I mean, I hope it is, because I'd hate for him to just be saying, oh, it's all the owner's fault. It sounds like he's sort of taking on both his owners and his other players and his teammates and guys that he is, you know, in business with, the other players. How is this good for anybody involved? It's already presented as a lose, 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 as he put it. And they just keep finding ways to make it worse. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci has had a little bit of a change of heart, I guess, on baseball playing through the end of October. He sounds, I guess, more positive on the matter now. We'll tell you the details of his latest comments as it relates to playing baseball versus playing football. We'll get to that coming up next with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
(617) 779-0985. Let me read from the LA Times. This story was written on June 16th. We read it last week. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Let me read from the story. Bill Shakin in the LA Times. How long should baseball's short season extend? The players say November. The owners say October. But if the sole factor is minimizing risk for the coronavirus, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the major leagues would be wise to wrap up the postseason in September. Here's the quote. If the question is time, I would try to keep it in the core summer months and end it not with the way we play the World Series until the end of October when it's cold. Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said in a telephone interview with the Times on Tuesday, I would avoid that. That is what he said. That is the quote we read. Fauci said playing in July would be less risky than playing in October. Even in warm weather, like in Arizona and California, we're starting to see resurgences as we open up, Fauci said. But I think the chances of there being less of an issue in the end of July, in all of August and September, are much, much better than if you go into October. So there's something in this story that I don't know we paid a lot of attention to, and that is the players say play the season into November, and the owners say wrap it up in October. And maybe he was asked in the interview about that sort of angle. I don't know. I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, because listen to what he had to say with Michael Kay on ESPN Radio in New York yesterday.
Last week you said that it would be very difficult to play in October because that could be a spike. But it's also the sport that they really are just naturally socially distanced. Why would it be tough if they socially distanced and did the right things to play in October?
Yeah, I'm glad you've given me the opportunity to again clarify, because in such a charged issue, things sometimes get taken out of context. No, what I'm saying is that if, and that's what never got printed in the comments, if in fact, and I hope we don't, if you have a substantial outbreak, so-called a second wave in the fall, overall the danger and the risk of penetrating through the shield that you're trying to put around this when you go becomes greater. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play in October. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have a World Series. And the reason I get perplexed about it is because when it gets taken out of context, it's saying, well, he doesn't think that there should be a season in which you can have a World Series in October. I never said that. That is for the league and the players to decide, not for me. The only thing I can tell you is that the risk, if you have a second wave in the fall and winter, is greater than you would have if you have a low level in the summer. That's all I said. I said nothing about having a World Series or not.
All right.
He's quoted as mentioning the World Series, though, which is why I'm having a hard time with this one, Anthony.
Yep, too many interviews. Too many interviews. He's got a – like, that's on – you're on Michael Kay's sports show. Then he was on the New York Times, got a hold of him, and in CNN, and it was Fox last week. It was ABC, Good Morning. I mean, he's all over it. And when you interview somebody like we do, you're looking for that one little point that's going to pop and jump out. And then you take it and you rebroadcast it, or maybe your website writes about it, and it's a hit point. Every time he does one of these interviews, the follow-up interview, I'm glad you allow me to clarify what I said in my prior interview, because I got taken out of context, or I didn't say that. It's the roller coaster, man. This has been going on for months now with him. He needs to just shut it down and do his job.
Why is he going to shut it down?
So he
Why
should go out. Then let's get him on tomorrow. Let's get him on tomorrow. Jim,
I'd love to.
Him on tomorrow.
I'd love to talk to him.
Sure.
I just think that the one thing he's got in his favor on this, the one thing he's got in his favor is that it was a print interview and not a radio interview or TV interview where you can say, well, wait, we heard you in your own words.
We replayed in its entirety.
The inherent problem in a print interview is you don't know what question he was asked when he gave that quote. The question is not really posed, you know, and you don't know what part of the conversation was the quoted part of a much longer answer. You don't know. That's just the way print goes. So that's the one thing he's got in his favor on this one. But in the quote, he's directly quoted as mentioning the World Series at the end of October. So I don't know. What does this mean? Does this mean things are good now? He's still very much against he thinks football's got no shot. You could tell he doesn't think football's got a shot. But Does this mean baseball's all good to go to the end of October now? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know.
And because I don't think that's what he said. I think he's saying, well, your risk goes up the later you go. Which should seem sort of obvious. Like, yeah, understood. Agreed. You know, the risk is...
But it goes back to the fans and stands. 50% down to 25. Yeah, you can have 50. Not, probably no fans. Yeah, it's... We don't. This thing changes daily, and it's hard to put numbers and stuff. And people, the problem is, we want numbers, right? As humans, we want to be told what we can and what we can't do. Do I have the? Well, I have the ability to put money down, and should I acquire my season tickets, or should I just say, "F it"? I'm going to defer to next year because they're holding my place anyway. He can't answer that. He really can't. I'm not blaming him. I'm not putting it on him. This thing changes. Look what's happened in the last week and a half with sports. Look how we changed our mind on football. Me, Mr. Football. I don't know what's going on now.
Get your sandwiches ready. That's what I would say.
No, I'm ready. I'm excited about that. I am. I give Bob a bite of mine.
No, I don't think that's in the protocol.
Yeah, we're all family.
Brian is in the car. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. So my thing is, obviously, Manfred's pushing this force play button now. So were the players' intentions really pure when they were screaming for months about 100% prorated pay, which the league has offered them in different variations, and they said no every time, overwhelmingly said no. So did it make sense for them from a legal standpoint to just say, screw it, we're going to force Manfred to hit the force play button, and then we could pin this on him in the end and say, you're putting us at risk?
I don't think it's about risk, though. I think it's about money. I think that's where the players are are at times using the safety protocol. I think, you know, some of them are legit and some of their concerns are real. And I think that overall, though, they're going to use that maybe to their advantage or going to use that as something to whine about over the next week. But I think it was always about money with these guys. I think we found that out with Blake Snell in the very beginning. He wasn't truly concerned about going back because of his safety. He was truly concerned about his paycheck. He was truly concerned about, am I going to get mine? That's what it was. Because he couldn't pick one or the other. He wanted, oh, it's about, oh, no, but it's about safety. Almost like he was trying to gain some support by bringing up the safety angle. I didn't believe him. I think it was all about his money, and I think that for most players, that's what it's been, that they've been most concerned about their money over all else. So, you know, they're going to get their prorated pay, and they knew that all along, and that was their leverage. And they're going to end up getting their 60 games with full prorated pay, and they're going to be able to go after the league. So I think that's going to, again, be a battle of cash and nothing else. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that.
No, I mean, I agree. It's going to get to the point here. You know, the amount of money you're going to end up losing here, whether you're covering the sport, whether you're playing the sport. People keep posting the baseball stuff, too. Like, okay, well, guys are going to miss $21 million of their salary if they're only going to pitch 50 or 60 games. You got to play something. You got to try to attempt to play the game and cover the sport. Or we just can't not have sports for the rest of this year. I don't think it's in jeopardy where we're going to lose sports for the complete rest of this year. I hope not. And this is why I said yesterday about the NFL, I wouldn't be shocked if you push it back a month. You know? I mean, you're just laughing and joking about games in 5 weeks. You're going to fill baseball, put people in a baseball, not people. You're going to enter a baseball stadium as players and play a game in 5 weeks. That doesn't seem feasible, does it? Based on where we're trending here, what's going?
No.
So, okay, I mean, are we going to sit here and wait for the NBA? People are ripping the NHL because we don't get the cities yet. Give us the damn cities. Well, maybe they're waiting because of the NBA. They're sending people down to a hot spot in Orlando. Now all of a sudden has this massive uptick in COVID cases and testing. Maybe we don't want to do that with our sports. So let's just make sure our cities are going to be fine. You know, not really about hotels and all that, but let's pick a safe place to go play. Is there really a safe place anywhere? The answer is no. You'll learn, pretty much live with this and attempt to play and learn how to adapt to it.
617-779-0985, the phone number. You know Dave Portnoy, though.
Yes, sir.
He is possibly, maybe, to be involved in the purchase of the New York Mets.
He is pissing off so many people in the stock market industry. Let's talk Buffett to the world.
I care less about that and more about the Mets. Is he involved and could he be a part of the Alex Rodriguez bid to buy the Mets? We'll talk about that. And we'll talk to one of Dave Portnoy's employees, Jared Karavas. He's going to join us coming up at 11. Don't go anywhere.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
Oh, God. Well, we're going to table that topic.
Is that Jennifer Lopez?
Wait a minute. That's legendary TV producer Glenn Diamond.
Is she sharing ice cream? You're so sweet, too. You asked her if she had more spoons so we could all share.
Team player. That was some really good ice cream. She's mad because I ate it all. I ate it like I was going on an electric chair.
Oh boy. A-Rod and J-Lo have been trying to buy the Mets, as we know. They're trying to pull together an investment group to make this all happen. You've heard that story in recent weeks. Well, you haven't heard yet.
Well, that wasn't J-Lo there. That was Mendoza.
Of course.
Yeah, she's gone. Bye. She gone.
That was A-Rod talking about J-Lo on the broadcast last year. Here's the headline in the New York Post today. Could Barstool's Dave Portnoy be part of Alex Rodriguez's Mets ownership bid? It says, imagine a Mets ownership group consisting of Alex Rodriguez, Jennifer Lopez, and Dave Portnoy. Following Monday's development that Vitamin Water co-founder Mike Rapoli, is that how we say that? I'm not sure, but I'm going to roll with it. And an unidentified investor were considering investing up to a combined $250 million in J-Rod's bid to buy the Mets. Portnoy, the founder of Barstool Sports, suggested that he may also be included in the package. Here's the tweet. An anonymous source has asked me if I'd like to be involved with an anonymous professional sports team if they anonymously buy the franchise. I wouldn't have to relocate, need to consider, tweeted Portnoy. He, of course, now lives in New York City. It says, while Barstool did not immediately return requests for comment, and Portnoy tweeted no comment in response to the publication of this story, he does have strong connections with both Rapoli and Rodriguez. And it goes into all the different things that he's been involved in with both of those guys. And so that's a possibility now that he be a part of the $250 million that will be put up to buy a stake in the New York Mets. And Dave Portnoy could be considered a minority owner of the New York Mets. Would that be good, bad, indifferent? What would you say about that?
I think it would be good for baseball. The number one problem, I think, with baseball is young viewers, right? And whether you like Dave or not, whether you like Barstool or not, he has a following, good and bad. You listen to him when you don't like him, and you listen to him when you hate, when you love him. And you got guys like Karabas under him, who's the biggest baseball guy ever. Their podcasts, the fun things they do. The fact you could slap that Barstool logo on the uniform would be neat. Kids would buy the jerseys, the merch.
They're
going to
put a Barstool uniform on the logos? I mean, on the jerseys?
I'm just saying, on the back of the neck.
Well, eventually, not next year or anything, but, you know,
what are you talking about?
Corporate logos become more prominent in sports.
Which other baseball team has corporate logos on their jerseys?
Well, they're vanguards, Beetle. They're going to be the first. Let them roll with it.
That's not the delay. That's just nobody talking.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was
just checking. Just checking. They're not going to put the logos on the jersey, but I agree with you generally.
You can put it right on where the tag is on the back, the little one right on top of the name, the little Barstool thing right there like they do on all their T-shirts. Come on, kids. Come to the ballpark.
Right where the Major League Baseball logo is on the jersey, Zoe believes that Barstool will be able to replace the Major League Baseball logo.
I never said replace anything. Never said that. Just slap a Barstool logo right here on the top of the shirt where they sell their T-shirts, where they put it real small. Not like in your face, but hey,
anyway,
they get a part of it.
I would say that it would be good. It would be a fun story. And the audience that baseball so desperately seeks is the audience that Barstool already has. So, yes, it makes a lot of sense. It would be good for the
but
Mets.
The ability to get in bed to business with A-Rod and J-Lo, that's what Dave's loving. Dave doesn't love baseball. Dave wants to get in with J-Lo and them. And who else have they confided in? We've talked about this with their ownership group potentially is Mr. Kraft, right? Yeah. So, hey, you're bouncing this off Robert. Robert may have said, hey, why don't you call that Dave kid? You know, he's young. He's got a big following. He's got money now. So there's another tie-in right there. That vitamin water thing, too. They don't make High Noon, do they? That new liquor that's out, the seltzers. That's what Dave's pumping right now.
Would you want a small stake of a team? Would you want to?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you want to own one third of 1% of a team?
I would. Yeah, I think it'd be great.
For what?
Great access. Terrific access.
The access. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Just as a fan,
I'd rather take
that kind of money.
Buy a mansion in Spain.
I mean, I don't think you get an owner's box when you own 1/3 of 1%.
No, but I'm sure you. I know that they get the best tickets. I know that as part of that deal.
Yay!
Remember that time, Mets Phillies game.
Like, but it's Jim, just to a team
a
though.
Day.
It's like I'm not saying you get 1/3 of 1% of the Patriots. You know, I don't know. I don't know that Dave Portnoy is any particular New York Mets fan. You know, this is, like Zoe said, this is a chance for him to, you know, go into business with some other people. So if this were the business, let's make it the New York Mets, Beetle, and you've got the money and you can invest in pretty much anything you want. Would you use that money to invest in the New York Mets? And a lot of your money, right? You've got a lot of money, but it's going to take a lot of your money. If you've got $100 million that you're worth, it's going to take, let's call it $5 million of your bucks to get in on just a partial percentage of a team, and the team is the New York Mets. Would you do it?
I ultimately would, but I'd feel much more comfortable if I could get into like an NFL team or NBA team.
Well, you're not. It's the New York Mets. That's the one.
Can I? And it's 5% of net worth, is what you're saying?
It's going to cost you 5% of your net worth, and you don't.
Can it
even
be a team I actually like? Can I be a Mets fan in this scenario?
And like, by the way, you don't. That doesn't get you a 1% ownership in the team. That gets you half of 1%.
I'd still do it.
Yeah.
I can think of a lot of other things I'd rather spend $5 million on.
Bingo.
Now it is an investment. I mean, you could argue that, you know, this is something where, you know, the value of sports franchises continues to go up. So, you know, you can certainly argue that it's not like blowing $5 million on a you know, fire festival. Yeah, okay, you're actually going to get something out of this when you decide to cash out, but it's $5 million, and there's a lot of ways to invest and make money if you've got $5 million to invest just in a random team in a sport that's third on your list of sports that you care about. And even then, it's not even a team that you care about in that sport. That's it's not anything I would even think about. No, no, thank you, not doing it.
Can you get in the war room?
Oh, Jesus.
For the big Major League Baseball draft. Yes, I know.
You do get those front row tickets.
Yeah, Jimmy, go in there, standing there with your glove.
Jim, you might remember this. The 07 ALDS against the Angels with the son of one of the minority owners of the Red Sox sticking his hand up and grabbing the ball in the front row.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Angels catcher who, you know, was pissed that the kid reached up and barehanded and took the snag the ball, right? And that was helpful to the Red Sox. But I remember that because I thought, you're a minority owner. You get those front row seats all the time, I guess. It's part of the deal, part of the package. If you're a minority owner,
take BP on the field, maybe?
Wouldn't be able to do that now. They got big old nets there, Hardy, to keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-0985. We'll talk to Jared Carrabas coming up right after these headlines. No commercials.